Lionsgate Films, Home Entertainment, a Lionsgate Entertainment company. A young man paints a coat of glue on the wall of a building and slaps up a poster for a band named Venom. Michael Caine. As the young man moves on, an older man wearing a raincoat steps onto the sidewalk from a seedy hotel. He looks around and walks away. Jason Connery. Mia Sara. The man checks over his shoulder again as he hurries through a London street market. A George Michalka film. The man waves down a taxi. Len Deighton's Bullet to Beijing, with narrative description by Audiovision. In the taxi, the man lights his pipe. Also starring Michael Gambon and Michael Sarrazin. Lev Kriganov, Anatoly Davidov. With Sue Lloyd as Jean. And Bert Quoke as Kim Soo. The man relights his pipe. Original music composed by Rick Wakeman. Costume designer Galina Nikolaeva. Production designer Yuri Hashigori. Edited by Francois Gill. A dead pigeon lies in the street. Directors of photography, Peter Benison, Terrence Cole. Executive for Len Film, Anita Hope. Executive for Harry Palmer Productions, Harry Benn. North Korean Embassy, London. From a second floor window across the street, a man uses binoculars to watch the demonstration in front of the embassy. Produced by Alexander Gulutva. John Dunning, Andre Link. The man buzzes a visitor into the room.
Morning, Carabas.
You're late.
I waited half hour for a bus, so I walked. Then I had to fight my way through the chorus of Miss Saigon down there.
Anyway, I'm off.
Carabas. Is that your real name?
Yes, it is. Why? How long have you been on this assignment, Harry?
2 years.
Anything ever happened across the way?
Well, they changed the curtains and the windows. They're now bulletproof, I think.
You better start filling in the C1 form, otherwise you'll have Colonel Wilson on your back.
Carruthers?
Yes?
They also started taking milk. I think they're secretly putting it in their tea.
Very valuable. Thank you, Harry.
Carruthers leaves, and Harry turns to the window to peer through the binoculars at the demonstrators. Screenplay by Peter Welbeck. Harry sets a chair before the window and sits down beside a desk full of surveillance equipment. Executive producer, Harry Allen Towers. Meanwhile, the taxi pulls to the curb to let its passenger out. Directed by George Michalka. Through his binoculars, Harry sees the man from the taxi approach the demonstration. A policewoman reaches up to pull a demonstrator off the wrought iron fence surrounding the embassy. She chases another demonstrator away from the fence. Harry sets the binoculars down. Picking up the telephone, he punches in a number.
Jean, it's me, Harry.
Oh, hello, Harry. What's that time?
Well, that's some students outside the North Korean embassy.
What do
don't know what they want. I know what I want.
A tall young man in a bomber jacket pushes through the crowd of demonstrators and stops beside an old woman.
Great. So we're on for tomorrow night, eh?
Yeah. Where you take?
My pet. I'll think up something spicy.
I hope so.
Harry glances out the window.
Hold on a moment, Jean.
The demonstrators roll a car onto its roof.
Looking ugly.
Well, thanks.
No, not you.
You sure you
want
to see me tomorrow?
Of course I'm looking forward to seeing you.
The young man watches the old woman as she moves through the crowd.
Been a long time now. Very long time.
Through his binoculars, Harry spots a man with a submachine gun in the embassy.
I'll call you back.
He rushes from the room. Out in the street, the old woman struggles with the man from the taxi. The young man watches them as they argue. Harry makes his way into the crowd. A needle pops out of the handle of the old woman's umbrella. Harry tackles the policewoman as the gunman in the embassy opens fire. The old woman stabs her needle into the man's chest. As she crouches over him, the young man backs away through the crowd, and the policewoman sits up.
Who the hell are you?
Palmer.
What the fuck are you doing here?
Emma, you wouldn't believe me.
The old woman searches the man's pockets, then stands up and hurries away. Harry and the policewoman get to their feet and rush over to the man, who lies spread-eagled on the pavement. They crouch over him.
What?
What did he say?
Death to the Reds, I think.
Later, in the morgue...
Didn't find his passport anywhere, but we've managed to identify him. His name is Anatol Kulbitsky. He's Russian, a genetic research scientist. And I bet he's a part-time KGB agent.
I think he most probably had a heart attack.
Do me a favor, Doctor. Have a look at his chest just about there.
The pathologist trains his lights on the corpse, then pulls back the sheet. He examines the man's chest through a magnifying glass.
If it's a poison, it must be very powerful.
He hands Harry the glass.
It's the old Bulgarian umbrella trick, KGB speciality. I thought they were out of business.
Out in the street, Harry glances at his watch as he hurries along the sidewalk. The poster on a newspaper box announces Defense Axe hits 20,000. Harry approaches the Foreign and Commonwealth Office.
Here, mate, where'd you think you're going?
Me, Palmer.
Harry passes the policeman and enters the building.
About 8:30. Lovely. Well, I'll meet you outside. Okay. Bye. Colonel Bamber's office?
Colonel Wilson wants to see me.
He's in a meeting.
You said he wanted to see me right away.
That was then. This is now.
I'll go.
I wouldn't if I were you. He said it was important.
I'll stay.
As you wish.
Harry takes a seat in reception.
Hello, Colonel Wilson's. Hillary?
Oh, Harry admires the receptionist's legs.
Good to hear your voice. Yeah. Oh, God. You saw the photos in the sun.
Yeah. Harry reaches for the sun.
Well, of course I didn't know I was being photographed.
He flips through the front of the paper.
No.
After the nude on page 3, he finds a photo of a man in a bar fingering the top of the secretary's stockings.
Yes, well, I think they ought to be sued.
She notices Harry ogling her legs.
Hang on, Hills, I'll call you back.
Staring pointedly at Harry, she tugs down her miniskirt's hem.
I'm having lunch with Harry Macmillan at the club tomorrow. Oh, do you want to see me, Palmer?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you'll have to make an appointment with Henrietta.
You sent for me, sir.
Oh, did I?
Yes, sir.
Well, in that case, you'd better come in. Go on, Henrietta. Remind me to call my wife in 4 minutes.
Very nice. Very nice, Henrietta.
Shut the door, will you, Palmer?
Both of them.
Henrietta tugs her skirt down again.
I suppose you'd better sit down.
Harry sits down in front of the colonel's desk.
You probably guessed what I need to talk to you about.
Yes, sir. The dead Russian at the North Korean embassy.
I read your report past the file to Carruthers.
Oh? I thought I was dealing with that.
The colonel picks up a newspaper headlining the defense cuts.
You've seen the headlines.
He tosses the paper to Harry, who knocks over a photo on the desk. The colonel watches impatiently as Harry stands it up again.
I haven't read the papers, sir. We've been very busy, what with the staff reductions. Don't get much time to read the paper.
Well, that's the point, Palmer. These staff redundancies simply haven't gone far enough. We've merged the Black Watch with the Argyles. The guards are down to single battalions. The household cavalry are reduced to recycling their manure to finance the regimental band.
Yeah. Things are tough all over, aren't they, sir?
Yes, quite. Quite, Palmer. Which brings us to your case.
The colonel puts on his glasses.
Ah, yes, here we are, Palmer.
He skims Harry's personnel file.
As I feared, we're going to have to ask you for accelerated retirement. Effective immediately. Of course, you'll have your pension. Unfortunately, grade 5, your acting rank, has never been confirmed. So you'll only qualify for grade 6.
Bastards.
I beg your pardon.
I'd like to remind you, sir, that I have been with this department for 30 years.
Well, we mustn't live in the past, Palmer.
I have been involved in some very important cases. There was the Ypres file affair. The funeral business in Berlin?
Yes, 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 Palmer. All before my time with the department. I don't deny that you may have done some good work in your time. But that was yesterday. And today is... today. Thank you, Palmer.
Glaring resentfully at the colonel, Harry stands up and walks to the door.
Well, good luck in City Street, Palmer. You never really were the proper military type.
Screw you.
What did you say?
Goodbye, sir. And give my regards to your wife in the customary manner.
Harry gives the colonel two fingers as he leaves his office. Walking the embankment beside the Thames River, Harry flips through a newspaper and finds a photo of himself lying on the policewoman at the demonstration.
Oh, shit.
Harry looks down at his shoe.
Oh, shit.
He tries to scrape off some dog poop he stepped in. As Harry walks away, he glances back at the stain on the sidewalk. Noticing a dog outside a phone booth, he points to his shoe and then at the dog accusingly. Harry walks on, continuing to scrape the sole of his shoe on the pavement. Later, he checks the traffic on the street for a tail, then turns up the path to his house. He pauses to scrape the sole of his shoe on the front step. Later.
Great to see you again, Jean. Nothing much changes, huh? I did notice that your hair's a little different.
You heard about the widow who turned blonde with grief?
Jean smiles at Harry, then moves into the sitting room. Harry tosses a newspaper onto the coffee table and sits down in an armchair across from Jean.
You did very well for yourself.
Yes. I was very happy for 25 years. And now I'm the not-so-merry widow.
Would you have married me if I'd asked you all those years ago?
No.
Why not?
I didn't like our line of work. The widow's pension was too small. What's for dinner?
Something light, I thought. A cheese souffle.
You said it was something hot on the phone.
That's dessert. Suppose I was to ask you to marry me now. What would you say?
Jean glances at the phone. Harry reaches across her to answer the phone.
Hello?
Is that Mr. Harry Palmer?
Speaking.
We saw your photo in the paper tonight. We were given your number by a friend.
Nice to know I have any.
A good friend who has told us about your considerable experience. We found the details interesting.
I'm glad you got a kick out of it.
They also mentioned your present potential availability.
Good news travels fast, huh?
We would like to meet you.
Be my guest.
No, be our guest at the lobby bar of the Savoy Hotel. Tomorrow.
How will I recognize you?
We shall recognize you.
Okay.
Have a pleasant evening.
Good night.
Harry leans across Jean to return the phone to the end table.
So, suppose I asked you, what would you say?
No.
Why?
Telephone conversations like that. Doesn't someone you know ever phone you?
It's been slow lately.
Maybe I can speed things up a little.
She removes Harry's heavy black framed glasses.
What about cheese souffle?
You said you wanted a hot dessert, didn't you?
Yeah.
Put chocolate in it.
Their lips meet. Harry takes her in his arms and they sink down into the sofa. The next day, dressed in a blue blazer and gray slacks, Harry walks to the Savoy Hotel. A taxi pulls into the forecourt of the Savoy, and a doorman opens the car door.
Thanks.
Cheers, Cap.
Wearing an overcoat over his suit, the tall young man from the demonstration enters the hotel lobby. Harry enters the lobby, too.
Will you be eating?
Not now.
Just a drink?
Yes.
Okay. Follow me, please.
Harry walks over to sit at the bar.
Could I have a vodka on the rocks, please?
Yes, right away, sir.
I'm expecting someone. My name is Palmer, if anyone asks.
Thank you, sir.
He notices an attractive young woman approaching him. He smiles expectantly and gets up to greet her, but she walks past him. To the young man, who she kisses.
Mr. Palmer?
Yeah?
Someone left this for you at the clerk room.
Thank you.
Harry takes an envelope from the bellhop and looks inside.
Here's your drink, sir.
Thank you.
He takes out an airline ticket.
You're welcome.
The ticket is for a flight on Aeroflot.
St. Petersburg, Russia. Well.
Harry looks in the envelope and pulls out an American $100 bill, then looks at the rest of them. He glances over his shoulder. Laying the envelope down, he sips his drink. The Aeroflot flight sets down at the St. Petersburg Airport. Armed soldiers guard the runway. Harry exits the arrival gate into the crowded terminal.
Mr. Palmer.
That's me.
It's the young man.
Can you follow me, please? There's a car outside.
Where else? Have we met before?
Well, we've never been introduced. My name's Nikolai.
Oh, by the way, who was the woman who phoned me in London?
Ah, that would be Mother.
Very original. We use that. Will I be meeting her?
No. Follow me.
Where are we going?
You'll find out when we get there.
As Harry and Nikolai walk out of the terminal, two rough-looking men rush to the door to watch them. Harry and Nikolai get into the back seat of their car.
Goodbye.
As Nikolai's car pulls away from the terminal,
the
ruffians sent two other men to follow them. Entering the city, Nikolai glances over his shoulder out the back window. The car tailing them is not far behind, and Nikolai spots it.
It's there. We're being followed, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
In a car? You still do that here?
Yes.
Is there a seatbelt there? No.
Nikolai's driver pulls a sudden left turn onto a side street. The tail swerves to make the turn.
Who are they?
The Chechens.
Is that bad?
Very.
Are you planning on losing them?
Otra vez.
The driver makes another sudden turn. The Chechens stick with him. The Chechens follow them through an alleyway into a narrow street. Nikolai's driver hits the curb.
He's staying with us. Shit!
The Chechens smash through a pile of garbage and continue the chase. They exit an alleyway in close pursuit. One of the Chechens cocks his gun, and the driver rams Nikolai's car.
Bistro.
What's that mean?
Fast.
Sounds like a restaurant. Here he comes again.
As the Chechens try to pass, Nikolai's driver turns a corner and stays ahead of them. The car leaves the ground as it crosses a bridge over a canal. Nikolai's car narrowly misses a pedestrian as it slides through a turn with the Chechens on its tail. The Chechens sideswipe them into a parked car.
Plan B.
What?
Plan B.
Oh, this is Plan B?
As the Chechens open fire, Nikolai's driver suddenly takes an exit down to the canal, stranding the Chechens on the one-way street above.
Get out!
A woman gets out from behind the wheel.
She's a girl!
She knows!
Now would you get on the boat? Who are they after?
You!
Why me? I only just got here.
You'll find out later. Now get on the boat.
I'll get on the boat.
Nikolai's driver heads the boat out into the canal. And the Chechens drive along the sidewalk as they head back along the one-way street. The boat speeds along the canal.
Are you in charge of this operation?
Yes.
You're a bit young for the job, aren't you?
Mr. Palmer, if you don't worry about my youth, I won't worry about your age.
Asterushka!
What's she saying? Get down! Get down!
Another boat sprays them with bullets as it races past. As it turns to pursue them, Nikolai pulls a gun from his jacket. The Chechen boat closes in as they pass beneath a bridge. And Nikolai squeezes off a shot from his silenced pistol. Nikolai's driver eases off the throttle. As the Chechens speed past, Nikolai shoots one of them.
Goodbye, goodbye!
The Chechen driver pushes his partner overboard as Nikolai's driver hits full throttle.
What the bloody hell!
My job is to get you where you're going alive, and that's what I intend to do. Now stay down and shut up!
The two boats race along the canal. Nikolai shoots at the Chechen, who fires back. The boat speeds through the network of canals that weave through the heart of St. Petersburg. Nikolai's driver turns into an intersecting canal, but the Chechen sticks with it. She makes another turn. but can't shake off the Chechen. Nikolai's boat speeds out of the canal onto the Neva River and circles back to the mouth of the canal. As the Chechen emerges from the canal, Nikolai fires a volley of shots.
Got it!
Devak!
The driverless boat circles in the middle of the river.
Watch out, he may not be dead.
They close in on the Chechen boat.
He's dead. I'm sorry about that incident. Call that an incident? Bloody hell.
The driver heads downriver, past the row of palaces on the bank of the Neva.
Is that the Hermitage? Yes. I never made it there last time. You won't this time either.
Later, the boat pulls up to a landing in front of a stately country house. Security guards help them off the boat, and Nikolai leads them up the broad stone steps running to the house.
You want to tell me where we're going?
To see Alex.
Who's Alex?
Alex is a...
Harry dodges the German Shepherd guard dog.
A true survivor. He's outlasted many regimes. Brezhnev, Khrushchev, and hopefully Yeltsin.
You speak very good English.
I was educated in England. My father's English. My mother's Russian.
That accent. Where'd you go to school?
Eton.
Eton?
I thought you bloody did.
Who's this?
A friend.
You sure?
The friend holds the door of the house open. Inside, security guards let Harry and Nikolai into the lobby. A man looks down from the mezzanine.
Ah, Mr. Palm. Welcome back to Russia.
You call this a welcome? I've been shot at practically...
Nikolai shushes him. Alex descends the white marble staircase to the foyer.
I apologize. You're working for me now, and I suppose I have enemies.
He reaches into his jacket.
A bonus. Another $5,000. Let's call it danger money.
A good name for it, sir.
Bajaram, baggage. Mr. Palmer, you must be curious as to why I brought you to Russia.
You could say that, sir, yes.
Let me help you. My name is Alex Alexevich. This is my home. Nikolai, leave us alone, please. Please! Come this way, please.
Alex takes Harry upstairs.
Nice place you got here, sir.
Yes, a legacy of pre-revolutionary days. You must be tired, Mr. Palmer.
I'm knackered, actually.
Well, do come and relax.
Later, Alex pours a shot of vodka into a crystal glass for Harry. With a wave of his hand, Alex dismisses the two women who have set the table with bread, fruit, and caviar.
I will endeavor to satisfy your curiosity. Mr. Palmer, I want to employ you on some extremely secret business.
Why me?
The usual agencies have their disadvantages. The police are unreliable and indiscreet. And for various political reasons, the KGB are no longer suitable. It's very hard, you know, these days to find, unswerving loyalty in a brand new market economy.
So I get the job, whatever it is.
Precisely. You are foreign, expensive, discreet, reliable.
And if push comes to shove, expendable.
Britain's loss is my gain. Salut.
Cheers.
They both sip their vodka.
You see, Mr. Palmer, Russia is a country that has always needed a strong man as a savior. I'm going to dedicate what is left of the rest of my life to that end. I have an agenda.
And what is that?
I'm sorry. I cannot tell you that yet. But believe me, our ends will justify the means. Russia is a place where, as you know, and then can be bought from blue jeans to nuclear submarines. Our government has suggested we should be careful about selling to various customers. You know, we can't go selling nuclear secrets to any Tom, Dick, or Harry.
No, of course not.
You see, before the dissolution of the USSR, I was in charge of some extremely secret research into the science of genetics and its military implications.
All that has since been privatized.
I am now what you call the chairman of the board. And now, one of its most important genetic experiments has disappeared.
But please, eat, Harry. Eat, please, Harry. Do. Good.
Later.
The code name of our project was Alarax.
Our earlier experiments were with rodents.
I see.
But as our knowledge advanced, we planned to move on to human subjects.
Oh, really?
Please sit.
Centuries ago, there was a plague which came from the Orient by way of Russia. It destroyed between two-thirds and three-quarters of the population of the West. It was called a Black Death.
I was starting to wonder why you wanted me.
One single drop of Alarax is enough to mutate and destroy the entire population of a city of 1 million souls. They would become the human counterparts of these rodents.
Alex passes a stack of photos across his desk to Harry, who flips through pictures of dead rats disfigured by pustules.
Oh, bloody disgusting.
That is why we call it the Red Death.
I see.
Alarax is a binary product.
Binary? What's that mean?
Made up of two separate substances. It's only when these are combined together it becomes dangerous. Last week, we discovered that our sample was missing, along with a certain Professor Kulbitsky.
Kulbitsky? Don't know that name. Who would want to buy this, what do you call it, Red Death?
Well, our information tells us that it's a certain ambitious but politically unacceptable power.
China.
Too obvious.
Iraq?
Try again.
What about North Korea?
Alex lights a cigarette.
Has it occurred to you, sir, that whoever stole the Alarax might have already tried to sell it?
Our information is the Alarax has not yet reached the customer. That's why you're here, Mr. Palmer. I want you to find the route by which it's being shipped. You must locate the courier.
And what else?
Bring the Alarax back by whatever means you find necessary.
Alex stands.
I'm not being overdramatic, Mr. Palmer, when I tell you the fate of the world could be in your hands.
Oh, I've saved the world a couple of times before, sir. What's the going price now?
$250,000 in cash.
No rubles?
No rubles. Perhaps I should warn you, Mr. Palmer, the people who followed you here from the airport today must have known why I brought you here. They wanted information.
I haven't any information to give.
In that case, they would have killed you.
Harry smiles grimly.
Well, Mr. Palmer?
$250,000, that's £180,000, right? Yeah. Earned abroad. Tax-free.
Harry stands up.
It's a deal.
They shake hands.
When do I start?
You have already started.
When?
This morning.
Oh.
Later, a car pulls up to a hotel, and Nikolai's driver gets out. As she opens the trunk, the doorman opens the car door. Nikolai gets out, followed by Harry.
Think we could have a quieter day tomorrow, Nick?
Nikolai, you're on your own tomorrow. Harold.
Harry. Okay, fellas.
The Redcaps follow Harry into the hotel with his luggage.
Hello, my name is Palmer. I have a reservation.
Welcome to the Nevsky Palace Hotel, Mr. Palmer. Here is your registration card. And may I have your passport, please? It's a formality to stamp your visa.
Yeah. Thank you.
You'll get it back in an hour.
At a nightclub that night, an actor stands on the stage portraying Lenin. Three female dancers wearing Russian army shirts over their black stockings and garter belts perform.
Hello, Harry.
Sorry. Good to see you, Andrei.
You too.
How are things at the Lubyanka?
The prison is now a tourist attraction, and I am the manager of this restaurant.
Happens to the best of us.
Let's have a drink.
Andrei shows Harry to a table and sits down with him to watch the dancers, who have shed their shirts to reveal their stars and stripes vests. One of the women dances over to their table and flashes them.
Here is the glasnost, perestroika, democracy.
Market economy and big tits.
Big tits, yeah. Cheers.
They sip their drinks and watch the floor show.
I'm looking for a firm that's stolen a deadly poison, a substance called Alerax.
Well, there are three mafia groups in St. Petersburg. It could be any one of them.
A perplexed Lenin scratches his head at the dancer's antics.
At least crime is flourishing in Russia.
Yeah.
Wearing Russian army caps and their vests, the dancers entertain the customers.
I should like to make you a present, Harry. I think you'll need it.
Andrei sets a briefcase on his lap.
I can offer you a Luger, a Colt, or its Russian equivalent.
Take the Colt.
As Andrei passes Harry a Colt revolver, a new dancer sheds her jacket to reveal her breasts. She walks over to a blonde customer who ignores her.
You see that man looking at us? His name is Yuri Stepanovich. He's a big shot in the St. Petersburg Mafia.
Stepanovich walks over.
Would you like to meet him?
If you must.
I don't think you have a choice. Hello, Yuri. Meet Harry Palmer.
I have heard about you, Mr. Palmer. You work for Alex. You should know that a friend of Alex is not a friend of mine.
I'll bear that in mind.
Russia.
A waiter brings the bill.
Russia can be expensive.
Bloody hell, you're not kidding.
But some things are cheap. For instance, for $200, you can have a man killed.
Harry picks up his glass.
It's too long life.
Whose life, Mr. Palmer?
As Stepanovich returns to his own table, a scantily clad dancer walks over and caresses Harry's cheek, then returns to the dance floor.
She's pretty.
The next day, as a tour boat motors down the Neva River, Nikolai walks along the embankment. Meanwhile, Harry walks through an open-air market. Nikolai's driver tails him through the market. So does one of the Chechens from the airport. Harry spots a man and a young boy shopping at a vegetable stall. As he walks toward them, the driver slips through the crowd to keep him in sight. The shopper waves a personal Geiger counter over a bunch of radishes.
Louis, sorry I'm late.
Hi. How are you? It's been a long time.
Yeah, sure has. Long time, Louis. Who's this?
Grandson, Sasha.
Hello, Sasha.
Hello.
Oh, he speaks English.
The future.
Still with the New York Times?
No. They said that they're no longer in contact with the KGB. I didn't fit in their budget.
You've lost the KGB?
They didn't have a budget.
What about the CIA?
They said the reason was budget cuts.
And the French Sûreté?
Oh, they simply stopped paying me.
contacts.
Poor old Louis. You lost all your contacts, eh?
Oh, I still keep in touch with everybody. I have lots of friends.
They walk on through the market.
You still do the English football balls, Louis?
Every week. What brings you to St. Petersburg?
I need your help, Louis.
You only have to ask. So I could use a little money.
Oh, why not, Louis?
Harry reaches into his jacket.
Could you make $1, Harry?
Why not, Louis?
Harry puts the rubles away.
100, do you?
Could you make it 2, Harry?
Why not, Louis? Is that okay?
Thank you.
All right? How much?
10,000, Harry. This will bring him good luck.
Harry pays in rubles for a nesting doll for Sasha.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It looks like her good luck is running out.
What?
Behind us.
What?
Don't look around. Walk normally. Car's around the corner. Pashli, Sasha. Pajom, pajom.
The Chechen tails them out of the market, and Nikolai's driver shadows the Chechen. Harry and his friends walk quickly away from the market. As they turn a corner, they break into a run.
Stop.
Harry takes his gun from his pocket and peers into an alley, but sees only rubble in a derelict courtyard. They hurry to the car where Louis sets his shopping on the hood.
Why are they after you?
I guess they found out I'm looking for the Alarics.
You know about the Red Death?
Yeah, that's what.
He spots a moving shadow. Ah! They duck a shotgun blast.
Louis,
unlock
the door.
Jesus.
Open the bloody door.
Nikolai and his driver run toward the shots, their guns drawn.
Louis, unlock the bloody door. Unlock the door. Okay, Sasha. It's all right.
As Harry pushes Sasha into the car, the gunman reloads his double-barreled shotgun. As Harry gets the gunman in his sights, a shotgun blast takes out the car's rear window. Harry's Colt misfires.
Shit.
The shotgun aims at Harry, but Nikolai puts 2 bullets in the gunman's chest.
Bloody gun.
Harry looks up to find the gunman gone. The Chechen from the airport runs up and fires a volley from his Uzi, driving Nikolai and his driver back into an alley. He sprays the car. Harry's bullet takes the man down. Nikolai glances over at Harry, surprised. Harry emerges from behind the car. He steps forward cautiously, his finger on the trigger.
Harry, it's me!
Harry lowers his gun as Nikolai steps out of an alley.
Dear Duskates.
Will you stop following me? I don't need...
A third gunman opens fire from the roof. Nikolai fires twice. The gunman plummets to the street. Dead.
Give me the gun.
Harry hands the Colt to Nikolai.
Get in the car.
Nikolai points backwards.
Go that way.
Harry points forward, and Louis complies. He reaches out to grab his shopping off the hood.
Ashley.
Nikolai and his driver hurry away to avoid the police. At an intersection, Louis T-bones a police car. The officer in the back of the squad car looks at them in disbelief. He eyes Louis' shabby car with disgust. Later...
Mr. Palmer, you used to work for British intelligence.
Yeah, but not anymore.
So you said. What brings you to Russia, Mr. Palmer? Business or pleasure?
Pleasure. But I haven't had very much so far.
It appears from your visa that you are here as a tourist.
Yeah. Looking, seeing the sights.
Some of them are not very pretty. For instance, those 3 gangsters we found dead. Did you kill them?
I don't even have a gun, Captain.
But a police car has been badly damaged.
Yeah, well, I wasn't driving the other car.
What have you been up to, Mr. Palmer?
Well, I've just been seeing old friends.
Apparently you have some quite important old friends. And enemies. But if I were you, Mr. Palmer, I would be very, very careful. Some people would prefer you dead.
I don't even know who they are, Captain.
The police car pulls up in front of the Nevsky Hotel.
By the way, make sure that you don't break the law.
Yes, sir.
Hmm?
Thank you, sir.
The captain returns Harry's passport, and Harry reaches for the door handle. Thanks to the collision, it doesn't work.
Excuse me, sir.
Harry crawls awkwardly over the captain as he struggles to extract himself from the back seat of the compact police car. The captain calmly straightens his tie.
Thanks for the lift, sir. Appreciate that.
Harry crosses the sidewalk and heads into the hotel. Later, he opens the door to his room and looks out into the corridor, to the right and to the left. Then he glances down.
This is for you from Grandfather.
Sasha hands him an envelope.
This is from me for good luck.
He gives Harry his nesting doll.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sasha scampers away. Harry glances along the corridor to check if they've been observed. Then backs into his room and closes the door. He opens Louis's envelope and takes out a note.
Take the bullet to Beijing tonight at midnight. The Alarax will be on board. Be careful. They're trying to kill you.
Later, Harry zips up his garment bag. He tucks Louis's note in his pocket and reaches for Sasha's doll. He tucks the doll into his garment bag. Slinging the bag over one shoulder and his raincoat over the other, he starts for the door, but stops. Drawing the curtain, he opens the window and looks out into the night. He drops his bag outside, then steps out the window onto the balcony. Almost midnight at the train station. Harry walks along the platform beside the waiting train. He hands the conductor his ticket, then glances back along the platform. A woman is boarding the train too, her face obscured beneath a headscarf. Harry boards the train. Waiting for the conductor to open his compartment, he notices the woman being shown to her compartment at the other end of the carriage. Harry steps into his compartment and lays his bag and coat on the seat. Then he slides the door closed. As he switches on a table light, the train begins to pull out of the station. Harry puts a CD into his player and switches it on. Then he lies back along the seat and opens a book. Outside, the lights of St. Petersburg twinkle in the night as the train moves through the city. There's a knock on Harry's door.
Yes? Just a minute.
He gets up and unlocks the door. Then he slides it open.
Can I come in?
The driver enters the compartment.
It's okay. No one knows I'm on the train.
You're Natasha, the girl in the boat. You've been following me.
That's right.
Oh. You're an American?
No, no, I'm Russian.
Russian?
My father was a military attaché in Washington, so I grew up in America.
Oh. Are you going somewhere?
Harry eyes her low-cut blouse.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's, very nice. Mm. What can I do for you?
Well, actually, Harry, I was hoping there was something I could do for you.
Oh, you feel I might be a bit lonely, right?
Well...
Natasha kisses Harry as she pushes him down onto his seat.
Are you trying to seduce me? Because if you are, I don't know any secrets.
She unbuttons his shirt.
Hey. 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 You haven't done this before, have you?
No.
I thought so. Sit down. Go on. Sit down.
Natasha sits up, and so does Harry.
Do you want to tell me why you're really here? Yeah? No? You're working for Alex, aren't you? Did he send you here? Come on.
I'm supposed to help you in any way I can.
Funny you should say that, because I do need some help. Could you have breakfast with me in the morning?
Breakfast?
Yeah.
As Harry backs Natasha out into the corridor, another passenger notices him and grins. She kisses him on the cheek.
Thanks.
And returns to her own compartment. The man watching them walks into the carriage and looks at Harry.
Harry Palmer.
You don't remember me? No.
Natasha slides her compartment door closed and faces Nikolai.
Well?
Well?
She dabs at her eyes with a tissue.
Well?
Well, what do you think? I did my job. Isn't that what you wanted me to do?
Craig Warner.
In the corridor.
CIA? Washington, 1983.
Yeah. What are you up to?
Well, I'm not working for Uncle Sam anymore.
They're cutting back to their last 20 aircraft carriers. They made me expendable.
Well, that'll help. What are you doing in Russia?
Sort of freelancing. I'm really glad to see you.
Great to see you.
By the way, congratulations.
Oh, friend of the family.
Oh.
Craig motions for Harry to wipe the lipstick off his face.
Nice to see you.
Good.
You got any spares?
He glances into Harry's compartment.
No.
Hey, buddy, let's get together.
Sure.
I'd like to hear what you've been up to.
Take care.
Yeah.
As Craig walks away, Harry glances both ways along the corridor, then backs into his compartment. Then he steps back out to check the corridor again in both directions. Back inside, he switches out the table lamp. Then he lies on his pillows. The train rolls on through the night. The next morning, the train speeds along a high embankment that cuts through a birch forest. Harry walks along the dining car to Natasha's table.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As Harry sits down, a waiter approaches them.
Tea, please.
Craig enters the car and gives Harry a thumbs up. Natasha notices.
You know him?
He's an American.
I know who he was, but I don't know who he is.
Piva, Heineken.
Craig orders a beer. Natasha lowers her eyes as a man in a blue suit and his companion pass their table.
Do you know him?
Who?
Him.
She glances back at the man.
Oh, that's Colonel Gradsky. Извините.
What does he do?
He was a diplomat.
And KGB. Another unemployed spy.
He works.
For whom?
I don't know.
Honest?
At his own table, Craig pours his beer into a mug. As he watches Colonel Gradsky light a cigar. Later, during a stop, Harry and Natasha get off the train and walk across the station platform. Harry examines the waiting passengers as Natasha places a call from a payphone. He watches two men arguing with a baggage handler. As another baggage handler joins the argument, Harry examines the wooden crate on the baggage wagon. He notices the red wax seal and the manifest.
Colonel Gradsky.
As one of the men shoves the baggage handler, a silenced pistol appears in the train window. Harry ducks aside as the gunman opens fire. Shielding Natasha with his body, he hunches over and guides her along the crowded platform. They take cover behind a loaded baggage wagon, and Harry peers over a suitcase.
Are you all right?
His hand is bleeding.
It's vodka.
What?
It's vodka.
As vodka runs out of a bullet hole in the suitcase, the crate is loaded onto the train. Harry peers over the suitcase again. The gunman still aims at them.
Train's moving. Push it this way.
As Natasha helps to push the baggage wagon along the platform, the gunman takes another shot. They creep along, using the baggage wagon as cover. Harry peeks over the baggage again, and another bullet strikes the vodka-laden suitcase. As the train pulls away from the platform, Natasha breaks cover and hurries back to their carriage.
Harry!
Harry breaks cover.
Come on, Harry!
Craig helps him back on board. The two baggage handlers argue with each other as they pull their empty baggage wagon along the platform. On board, Craig ushers Harry into his compartment.
Sit down.
It's just a graze.
Craig opens his briefcase and takes out a bandage.
Here, put this on.
Thank you.
What happened out there?
I got too curious about some luggage on the station.
These Russian dudes sure are touchy. Who was the guy trying to shoot you?
Wish I knew.
Looked like St. Petersburg Mafia to me. How about some medicine?
Hey, you come well equipped.
Always do. Name your poison.
Is that scotch?
Yeah.
Hey. Why spoil it? Thank you.
To the lady.
They toast.
You didn't waste much time.
I told you. She's a friend of the family.
Hey, I can keep a secret. I was in the company for 10 years before they fired me.
Why'd they throw you out? Forget to return the cocaine to the DEA?
How do you know?
Just a lucky guess.
You still with MI5?
No. I'm freelance. Just like you.
Actually, I have a message for you.
From Louis?
How'd you know?
Another lucky guess.
He used to work for us from time to time.
Louis used to work for everyone from time to time.
Wouldn't you?
Depends.
All Louis had to say was, watch out for Colonel Gradsky.
Harry considers.
Thanks for the message. And for the drink. And for the first aid.
Anytime.
Take it easy.
Take it easy.
Harry leaves Craig's compartment.
Bastard. Fucking Brit.
Later, night falls as the train rumbles through a level crossing.
Who is it?
It's me, Harry.
Harry gets up and unlocks the door. Natasha enters wearing a dressing gown.
Harry, you've got to be careful. I think I just saw the man with a gun.
Which way did he go?
That way.
Sit down. I want to talk to you. What did Alex tell you on the phone?
He told me to follow you.
How did he know I was on this train?
Oh, you don't know Alex.
I'm beginning to.
He makes a spy on each other. That's why I hired you, because you're a stranger. Then he makes us watch your every move because he doesn't trust you. I think you're the only person that can help me.
Huh?
I want out.
Well, if you don't like it, why don't you quit?
I can't. I can't just quit. When you work for Alex, you only quit when you're dead. Sometimes I wish I were.
Nikolai listens at the door.
You will help me, won't you?
I'll do my best.
Who is it?
Nikolai.
As Natasha hides in the corner, Harry opens the door and steps into the corridor.
Evening, Harry.
What a surprise. You following me?
Just making sure you're all right.
Alex wants to make sure I don't get lonely, huh? I could do with a drink. Care for a midnight stroll?
He directs Nikolai toward the bar car.
How'd you know I was on this train? Don't tell me. Alex knows everything.
As dawn breaks, a bridge carries the train over a wide river. Harry and Nikolai are in the dining car.
You said your father was English.
That's right.
You know what he did for a living?
Only what my mother told me. He was in intelligence.
British intelligence?
That's right. Maybe you knew him.
Maybe. Why didn't your mother try to keep in touch with him?
It's not easy to keep in touch with British intelligence.
It is hard to find, isn't it?
You see, when they met, she was also in intelligence.
In Russian intelligence? Oh, I see. The old honeypot trap.
But they fell in love, and I was the one who got stung. She kept me a secret from him.
You were educated in England, eh? At Eton. Who paid for that?
My motherland.
Oh, you regard this as your motherland, do you?
Well, it certainly is my mother's land.
But is it yours?
Yes.
But your father was English.
When you don't know your father's name, you'd be amazed how often the word bastard comes up in conversation, especially at Eton.
You don't think you were the only bastard at Eton, do you?
No.
So now you work for Alex?
Yes.
Is he a bastard?
Nikolai's smile fades.
No. He may be the one man to save us Russians.
I hope you're right. How much does he tell you?
As much as I need to know.
Do you know the reason I'm on this train?
No.
Alex asked me to find something. Will you help me look for it?
My job is just to keep an eye on you, but you might want your gun back.
Nikolai glances over his shoulder as he reaches into his jacket. He slides the Colt across the table to Harry, who slips it into his jacket.
Thanks.
The tracks run along the shoreline beside a lake as the train makes its way through a forest of birch and aspen. As they leave the dining car, Harry spots one of Colonel Gransky's men in the corridor.
This guy knows me. He's the one that shot at me on the station.
No problem.
Nikolai takes his cigarettes from his pocket. As he steps toward the man, he removes one from the pack.
Say, you! Hey, you, yeah!
Store.
You got a light, pal?
Store.
A light ski? You got a light? Hey, can your mother sew?
Чем дело?
I say, can your mother sew?
А я не понимаю.
We'll stitch that.
Nikolai headbutts the man, who drops like a stone.
It was right after I learned that the word bastard stopped coming up in conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Oh, my bloody head.
Harry and Nikolai throw the man onto the embankment beside the tracks. Then they make their way through the gloom of the baggage car.
There it is.
Harry points out Colonel Gratzky's wooden crates.
What does that say?
To be delivered to the North Korean embassy, Beijing, China.
It's got a diplomatic seal. Let's open it.
Do you think that's a good idea?
I'm going to show you how to open the box without disturbing the seal.
That's far enough. Mr. Palmer.
Gratzky walks in, accompanied by two bodyguards.
I'd prefer you both with your hands up.
He has them covered with his gun.
Thank you. That's better.
I didn't notice much improvement.
I'm afraid we have different points of view, Mr. Palmer.
Why can't we be friends, Colonel? I understand you're ex-KGB. We're both in the same boat. We're both recently redundant.
But not inactive. At the moment, Mr. Palmer, your curiosity is causing me some inconvenience.
What are you going to do? Shoot us?
We tried it at Nizhny Novgorod. Of course, the range is closer here.
Yeah, we're both standing ducks.
Sasha, Tolya.
A balding, burly man steps forward with a gun in his hand.
Well, I'm not a cruel man. And you're right. We are all, what is the phrase, in the same boat.
And up the creek.
The other bodyguard opens the baggage car doors.
You said you weren't a cruel man, Colonel. Can we wait for a slow bit? Get off.
Harry and Nikolai jump from the moving train into the weeds beside the tracks.
Bloody arm.
Is this Siberia?
Nikolai gazes around at the forest surrounding them.
Of course it's bloody Siberia.
You haven't got a train timetable, have you?
Can we wait for a slow bit? I can't believe you bloody said that.
Harry steps onto the tracks and starts walking.
Where the hell are you going?
Follow the train. This is the only way it can go. We have a track, a trail. Have you got a better idea?
Yeah, shoot you.
Nikolai climbs up the embankment to join Harry.
Have you ever been chucked off a train before?
No, I've never been that stupid.
Have you?
Yeah,
and twice.
What did you do then?
I took a taxi. It was in London.
They dive into the gravel to duck a low-flying plane.
Where the hell did that come from?
There's an airport.
Huh?
There's an airport. Over this way.
They strike out from the tracks for the airport. and emerge from the woods beneath the tail section of a derelict airliner. They look at each other in amazement. They walk beneath the fuselage of a partially dismantled plane. They exchange another look of amazement at the sight of the people lined up on the tarmac outside the terminal. They make their way to the head of the line and into the terminal. A ticket agent walks away from the crowd.
What did she say? She said that the ticket office will be open a little later.
I'll toss you for it.
Harry flips a coin.
Heads or tails?
Heads.
What does that say?
Cafe bar.
I'll be in there.
Harry heads upstairs to the bar, leaving Nikolai to deal with the ticket counter.
Shit.
Upstairs, Harry pours himself a glass of vodka. Nikolai walks into the bar.
So what'd you find out?
Well, the good news is I got two tickets on the evening flight to Irkutsk, and the train doesn't get there until tomorrow morning.
Great. So what's the bad news?
Later, on the tarmac...
Nick, you said there were only two seats left on the plane, one in the cockpit with the pilot...
Yes, I know, I know.
...and the other in the toilet. Heads or tails?
Tails.
They're in the toilet.
Let me...
Harry shows him the coin.
I'm learning from you all the time.
Nikolai boards first, followed by Harry. The stewardess squeezes past as Nikolai heads to the back of the plane. He opens the door to the toilet. He looks at the young woman on the toilet. As he enters the tiny space, she stands up to make room for him. Nikolai sits down on the toilet. The young woman sits down on his lap.
For the benefit of our English passenger, please make sure that everything is in an upright position and prepare to take it off. Thank you.
As the young woman closes the toilet door, the plane taxis down the runway. As it lifts off, Harry braces himself against the bulkhead behind the pilot. The plane wallows from side to side as it gains altitude. Sitting in his jump seat behind the pilot, Harry releases his grip on the bulkhead. A crowd of women pound on the door to the toilet, but it doesn't open up for them. The plane climbs gradually as it soars over a patchwork of forests and fields. Unfastening his seatbelt, Harry stands up and leans over the pilot's shoulder.
When do we get to Irkutsk?
The pilot doesn't hear him, so he pulls the man's headset aside.
When do we get to Irkutsk?
We shall not get to Irkutsk! Not enough gas!
You must have known that before you left!
On this plane, nothing works! How was I to know the fuel gauge works?
Dumbfounded, Harry gazes out the cockpit window as the pilot reaches for a map.
We land here!
He hands the map to Harry.
Rats! Where the hell's Brett?
Down there!
The plane lurches through the sky, and Harry grimaces as it banks into a hard turn. Cows graze in the field below as the plane makes its descent. The plane sets down in the pasture, jolting Harry in his jump seat. It taxis past a herd of goats as it rolls to a halt.
Congratulations!
Someone shoves a ladder through the door for the passengers to disembark. In the adjacent farmyard, the farmer builds a haystack.
How was the cockpit, Harry?
You don't want to know. How was the toilet?
Harry, meet Alona. Alona, Harry.
Hello.
The helper from the plane.
You found her in the toilet?
Oh, this is not Irkutsk.
No, no, this is Bratsk.
Bratsk?
Where the hell's Bratsk?
It's somewhere else in Siberia.
But I must get to Irkutsk. My mama is waiting there for me.
I wish my mother was, love.
The passengers trudge across the field. Minutes later, Harry, Nikolai, and Alona walk a muddy road into the outskirts of Bratsk.
You think there's a Hertz or Avis around here?
Wouldn't bank on it.
I'll tell you what. If we could find a place where we could buy a vodka, I bet we'd find our way to Irkutsk.
Nikolai looks along the road.
Right over there.
Yeah. That might be a bar.
The squat brick building has a neon sign over the doorway. Nighttime finds the bar jammed with men drinking vodka. One man grins across the table at Harry and Nikolai.
You're my capitalist friend.
He claps him on the shoulder.
English.
English, yeah.
Right, English. Not forgetting my little Russian friend.
Oh, yeah, my little Russian friend.
She's calling her mother.
Everybody should have a mother.
In the booth outside, Ilona hammers the phone.
Mom! Это я, Ilona! Братья! Брат!
Inside.
How far is it to Irkutsk?
The road is very bad.
We have money.
Not much.
Not much.
The road is very long. 300 miles, maybe more.
We have American dollars. And we will give to anybody who will drive us to Irkutsk $1 for each mile.
Pyotr Sergeyevich.
A slight man looks over.
Come here.
You will drive my friends to Irkutsk.
Ah, здрасте. Когда?
Now. Сейчас.
Сейчас. Поздно, опасно. Бандиты.
Ты сам бандит, Сергеевич. Идиот.
What's he saying? He said he's worried about the bandits. He told him, we are the bandits, you idiot.
The man turns to Harry.
No. Give me money.
Please.
Harry reaches into his pocket, and the two Russians watch closely. Under the table, Harry peels some bills off his bankroll and hands them over. The first Russian counts the money.
Oh, such a nice. Go. Go.
Я в машине там, жду.
Peter walks outside.
My capitalist friends.
Harry and Nikolai down their vodka with the Russian. Later, Nikolai is in the phone booth as Harry walks outside.
Okay, let's go. I suppose you're checking in with Alex, are you? Come on.
In St. Petersburg.
Bratz. Where the hell is Bratz?
Alex hangs up.
Get me Louis.
As Nikolai walks out of the phone booth, Ilona snuggles up to Harry.
Mommy.
Daddy, you see your mummy in the morning.
Nikolai glances into the back seat, then settles in beside the driver. Peter backs his battered Lada Niva 4x4 out into the road. They set off for Irkutsk, trailing a cloud of blue smoke. In St. Petersburg, Alex's secretary hands him the phone. Awakened from his sleep, Louis turns on a desk lamp and answers his phone.
Hello? What did you tell Harry Palmer?
Tell him? I told him the Alorex was on the train.
Well, Colonel Gretzky has had him thrown off the train. And I have a feeling it's your fault.
Alex, you're my best friend. I did nothing.
Alex, I didn't... Alex slams the phone down. Louis looks at his receiver in dismay, then hangs up. Worried, he lights a cigarette. At Andre's nightclub, a bare-breasted dancer tips her fedora seductively over her eyes.
My life.
Nearby, Yuri is on the phone.
What do you want, Louis? I am busy.
It wasn't my fault. I just did as I was told. I gave the message to Harry to watch Colonel Gretzky.
Don't you realize your bloody fool Gretzky works for Alex? I want what Gretzky's got. That's why Professor Kolbitsky was working for me. Harry Palmer is becoming a nuisance. Where's he now?
Bratsk.
Bratsk? Where the hell is Bratsk? Где этот Bratsk? Wait a minute. I know somebody in Bratsk. Louis!
Don't talk to anybody. Stay home.
Yuri hangs up abruptly. Louis puts his phone down.
Мы должны остановить их до Иркутска. Yuri wants Harry Palmer killed. А там и награды. Еще $300.
The Bratsk bandits get into their Lada sedan and set off in pursuit of Harry and Nikolai. In the morning, Peter's Neva trails a cloud of dusk and blue smoke as it speeds along a dirt track. It splashes through a puddle. The wipers clear the mud from the windshield to reveal Harry behind the wheel.
How far to Irkutsk?
I suppose about 5 miles.
What time is it?
Nearly 8 o'clock.
What time does the train leave?
8:15.
No problem.
Behind them, the ladder full of bandits comes up fast on the mud puddle. The Neva splashes through more mud. The ladder slides through the mud as it rounds a curve, gaining fast on Harry. Harry struggles with a stubborn gear shift.
Just pick any gear. They're all in the same box.
Panic.
Racing into the outskirts of Irkutsk, Harry nearly collides with another car as he pulls onto the main street and speeds by a motorcycle cop.
What time is it?
8:10.
You've got plenty of time. 5 minutes. No problem.
Behind him, the bandits open fire.
What the fuck? Faster! I've got my foot on the floor!
Its engine racing, the Neva exudes a dense cloud of smoke. Up ahead, a tractor pulls across the road. Harry darts through a gap between the second tractor and the first, but the bandits slide to a stop to avoid a collision. As the road clears, the bandits take up the chase, followed by the cop on his motorcycle. The bandits fire at the Neva as they pull up to the train station.
Bring
It's 8:15 and the train is pulling away from the platform. Harry drives the Neva across the sidewalk and up the station steps. Wheeling around a corner, he bumps up a second flight of steps. The bandits lose their bumper as they cross the sidewalk and force the ladder up the steps, only to crash into a wall as the motorcycle cop slides to a halt. Pedestrians leap aside as Harry speeds along the station platform in pursuit of the train.
Where'd you learn to drive like that?
The pyramids.
Harry narrowly misses a pedestrian.
You'll never make it!
Then he slams into a baggage wagon as he skids to a stop.
Buy yourself a new car. Say goodbye to your mother.
Handing Peter a wad of cash, Harry and Nikolai leap out of the Neva.
I'm too old for this!
Ilona and Peter cheer Harry and Nikolai on as they jump aboard the train.
Goodbye!
Harry and Nikolai wave from the train, and Ilona and Peter embrace in celebration. On board. Colonel Gradsky's bodyguard lurks in the corridor as the conductor shows an elderly couple to their compartment. Harry and Nikolai use the couple for cover and follow them along the corridor. Nikolai grins as the couple step into their compartment, then headbutts the bodyguard. Leaving the unconscious guard in the corridor, they knock on Gradsky's door. Gradsky opens the door, and Harry cocks his gun.
Surprise.
On one of the seats, Natasha throws off her blanket.
Two surprises.
What are you doing here?
She's my daughter. What? She's my daughter.
He is your father?
Yes.
Three surprises. Sit down.
At gunpoint, Gradsky sits down.
If your father is the courier I'm looking for, he may be stealing from Alex. And you are helping him.
He's not stealing from Alex. We're both working for him.
You're both working for Alex? Then why did you throw us off the train?
I didn't know you were working for Alex until Natasha told me. By then, you were both somewhere in Siberia.
Tell me about it. So we're all working for Alex, right? Question. What have you got in the box that you're taking to Beijing?
I don't know.
You don't know?
When you work for Alex, you don't want to know.
Gradsky drags on his cigar.
I think it's time you found out.
Opening the baggage car door, Gradsky's guard stares into the muzzle of Harry's gun.
Open it.
The man stands aside and Gradsky leads everyone into the car, stepping over the body of the unconscious railway guard lying on the floor.
Open it.
Who are
you? Why didn't you tell me he was your father?
Because I was told not to. You know how Alex works. Nobody's told more than they need to know.
Give me one of the bottles.
Gradsky takes one of many aluminum bottles from the crate and hands it to Harry, who reads the bottom of it.
Substance A232.
He hands it back to Gradsky.
Open it.
Are you crazy?
That's all right. Alarex is a binary chemical weapon. It consists of two ingredients, both of which are harmless separately. A232 is one of them. It's probably disguised as fertilizer.
Harry sniffs the substance.
Or some other industrial chemical. Put the top back.
Welcome back, Harry.
Craig enters the car with a gun in his hand.
Do yourself a favor. Put that gun away.
Harry obeys.
Close that case.
You're not up to your old tricks again, are you, Craig? You haven't got the other half of the Alarex, have you? No?
Still making guesses?
I know.
You deliver the Alarax and get paid in heroin in Beijing. Arms for drugs. Just like the Contras in Nicaragua.
Another guess.
I don't have to guess where you fit in, Craig. We're all working for Alex. And you, Colonel, are about to start smuggling drugs. That's why he's here. He's an expert. He's here to make sure the drugs are pure. Quite a step down, eh, Colonel? From military attaché in Washington.
Я же тебе говорила.
Не сейчас, Наташа.
That's enough.
The train slows with a jerk.
You, open the door.
Nikolai opens the baggage car door and looks outside.
What is it?
Mongolian border.
I recommend we all go back to our compartments and get our passports as quickly as possible. Now move.
Move it.
They all file out of the baggage car.
Did you know about this? Or were you told not to tell me? Is this how you're building Alex's new Russia?
I don't know who this guy is, but Harry's wrong.
Outside, armed guards watch over the passengers as they line up to have their passports stamped. Gradsky turns to Harry.
I never knew the whole story.
Well, the North Koreans get the Alarax. Alex gets the drugs and winds up stinking rich. We have to stop him.
No one can stop him.
We can try.
You're letting him make a fool of you. Alex doesn't care about Russia, or you, or me, or anyone else but himself.
Natasha has been trying to turn me against Alex. But it could be suicide.
Our whole lives have been suicidal. What do you say?
Gradsky watches Craig hand his passport over.
What does he say?
He glances at Nikolai, who walks over to them.
I say that Alex has an agenda. I say that he knows what he's doing and why he's doing it. I say neither you or anyone else here is going to stop it. That's what I say.
You know what Alarax is and what it does. What do you say to that?
The end justifies the means.
I bet you get paid in drugs. Not cash. But that wouldn't be a problem with you either, would it?
Nikolai swallows hard as he backs away to return to Natasha.
That's why he had me carry $5 million to Switzerland.
That's right. At least we can do something about the Alarax. Will you help me?
That night, the train speeds across the Mongolian plains. In the baggage car, Gradsky unscrews the cap from one of the bottles and pours the contents into a filthy toilet. Harry pours vodka into another empty bottle.
Cheers.
Cheers.
He and Gradsky each drink from their vodka bottles. Then Harry continues to fill the aluminum bottle with the clear, odorless liquor, which he sniffs.
Need something else.
Another ingredient.
I know just the ingredient. I'll be back in a minute.
Harry carries the aluminum bottle away.
Keep drinking, Colonel. I can't top off all these bottles by myself.
The next day, the train rolls across the Mongolian desert, passing a camel caravan. Later, the train snakes through a mountain valley. In Harry's compartment...
In less than an hour, we'll be in Beijing. It's a
just don't want to be around when North Koreans find out what's in my case.
Your contact in Beijing is Kim Soo, right? He was in the embassy at London. I know him well. My problem is, I still haven't found the other ingredient. You don't have it, do you?
No.
What about Natasha?
No, not Natasha. Alex wouldn't trust her that far.
And Nick?
Not his job.
Well, there's no one else.
Gransky peers across the table at Harry. Harry glances over at his luggage.
What do they say at airport security? Is this your bag? Did you pack it yourself? Did anyone give you?
He takes out Sasha's nesting doll.
A present. Take the bullet to Beijing. The Alarax.
He dismantles the doll.
Be on board.
Harry dismantles successively smaller dolls until he exposes a tiny glass vial.
No wonder Louis knew it would be on board.
Gransky watches nervously as Harry extracts the vial from the doll.
The bullet to Beijing. And I thought it was a fucking train.
Later, the train pulls into the station in Beijing. A soldier greets them on the platform.
Colonel Gransky, the Honorable Kim Soo sends greetings. So please follow me, please. You too, Mr. Palmer. Please.
Craig pulls a gun on Natasha.
You come with us too. You can keep Harry company.
What the fuck are you doing, Craig?
Your job is done. Get lost. Okay, move it.
So this way, please.
You still think the end justifies the means?
They leave Nikolai standing on the platform, and the Gratskys glance back at him with a look of betrayal. The soldier leads them out of the train station.
What is that?
Gratsky's men push a baggage cart carrying a wooden crate across the pavement outside the station. Harry, Craig, and the Gratskys make their way through the crowd to the car waiting at the curb. Natasha glances back through the crowd as she gets into the car. Harry looks over to find Nikolai standing on the pavement watching them. Gratsky's men help load the crate into the back of a truck. Nikolai stands on the pavement, thinking. He sets off on foot. The truck follows the car as it pulls out into a street clogged with pedestrians and cyclists. In the car.
Guess your way out of this, Harry.
Craig grins. Armed soldiers guard the entrance of the North Korean embassy. The car drives past the embassy's entrance. Harry glances out the curtained window as the truck follows the car into the entrance to the embassy's underground garage. Out on the sidewalk, Nikolai locates a payphone, but it's engaged. He glances at his watch as he waits. Harry and Craig follow the Gratskys through the embassy basement. Soldiers open barred doors to let them through. They enter a grim gray office.
Greetings, my dear Colonel, and welcome back to Beijing.
Kim Soo, may I present my daughter, Natasha?
I am honored to meet you, Natasha.
He kisses her hand.
Harry, good to see you again.
Hello, Kim Soo. Long time no see.
Mr. Palmer's an old friend. When I was at our embassy in London, we used to meet for lunch every Friday and toss for whether I put him on my expense account or he put me on his. We usually did both. You have new dirty stories, Harry?
Of course, Kim.
Mr. Warner, everything is ready. Please take a look.
An aide hands Kim Soo an aluminum bottle.
So, this is A232.
Craig slits open a plastic bag of drugs.
Strange. I expected a stronger smell.
Craig spits out a taste of the drugs.
Could be vodka with a little bit of ammonia. Oh, we'll soon find out about that.
Craig tests the drug's purity.
Harry, you have something for me?
No.
Something from Louis?
From Louis.
Harry reaches into his pocket.
Is that it?
That's it.
Kim Soo takes the doll.
One more thing, Harry. Your passport.
Passport? How am I going to get out of China?
Don't worry. We have plenty of new British passports.
Why'd you need my passport, then?
Souvenir of old friend.
Souvenir, huh?
Harry hands over his old blue passport.
We really must be going, or we may miss the train.
You Russians, always in a hurry, but getting nowhere. Now, Mr. Warner, you satisfied?
Yep, everything checks out.
You may go now.
The Gratskys leave.
Mr. Warner, the merchandise will be in the truck.
It's been great to see you again.
As Craig leaves, Harry holds out his hand, but Kim Soo ignores it. Harry sees the doors close behind Craig and turns to Kim.
I am truly sorry about this, Harry.
Kim sits down and looks up at Harry.
Unfortunately, you know too much. Looks harmless, doesn't it, Harry?
Harry glances over at the bottle and the doll.
It'll take 24 hours to find out. And if there is a problem, we will find our friends, and they will die too. This is Rhea.
Kim Soo?
It's Nikolai Petrov, Alex's assistant. Is Mr. Palmer there?
Yes, we have him.
There's been a change of plan. I've had an order from Alex, and Mr. Palmer has to come back to Russia. And we'll take care of him later.
Don't worry. I'll take care of him.
Kim opens a desk drawer and takes out a pistol. Harry watches as he removes a passport and returns the pistol to the drawer. Kim looks at him, and Harry meets his gaze. Kim walks over to Harry.
All right, Harry.
He holds up the passport.
You can go now.
Harry takes the new red passport from Kim and inspects it.
I don't like these new passports.
Kim smiles.
Tell me, Kim Soo, would you really have done it?
Happily, we will never know, will we, Harry?
Harry grins. Kim smiles back. Harry turns and walks away. A Chinese soldier patrols the tarmac as the flight lifts off from the Beijing airport. On board.
If Alex thinks I'm dead, you're gonna have to find me a safe house. You all right, Nick? No, thank you. Nick?
I'm going to break rule number one. I'm going to tell you more than you need to know. The Alarax was fake.
Really? So why did Alex hire me?
To make it look real. It was a scam. We sell fake Alarax to the North Koreans, and they finance our cause. When they find out it's fake, you take the fall.
Finance your cause? finance it with heroin. Because that's what it was. I saw it.
Nikolai looks away.
Or didn't Alex tell you that? It was real heroin and real Alarax.
Harry reaches into his pocket.
Kim Soo asked me for my passport. I always carry two. I gave him one. And this is the one that I handed in at the hotel. The one that Alex knew I had to take with me.
He peels his photo back to reveal a large black dot.
And this is what Alex left inside.
He holds up the dot.
The formula for Alarax.
Nikolai stares at it somberly.
And you know where he got it? From the passport that you and the old lady lifted off Kilbitsky's body. Yeah, I saw you. You were in London. Were you saving Russia then? Huh? Do you know how much that's worth? Millions of dollars on the open market. And it could cost millions of lives. Give me your lighter.
Nikolai complies.
I'll show you what I think of it.
Harry holds the dot in the flame.
Yeah.
He returns the lighter.
It's not Alex who's saving Russia. It's you who should be saving Russia from Alex.
Nikolai contemplates the suggestion.
There's one more thing I'd like to ask you. Why did you take such a risk in Beijing to phone and get me out?
Nikolai looks at him earnestly.
You ever get caught in a honeypot trap, Harry, with a Russian agent? You're lying.
Harry looks at him and grins. Nikolai grins back. Harry's expression becomes serious. Closing his eyes, he lays his head back against his seat. Later, the train pulls into the station at St. Petersburg. A baggage handler hauls Colonel Gratzky's crates of heroin out of the station on an electric dolly. Gratzky, Natasha, and Craig follow on foot. A military truck pulls into the station parking lot, accompanied by a black sedan. From an office window overlooking the parking lot, Harry watches armed militiamen get out of the truck. Harry turns as Nikolai enters the room. Nikolai draws his pistol. Attaching a silencer to the muzzle, he approaches Harry.
What are you doing?
Just in case.
Harry smiles with relief.
Yuri's on his way out.
As Nikolai tucks the pistol away, the door opens and Yuri's bodyguards walk in. Yuri enters and steps up to Harry and Nikolai.
Drugs are being loaded. They're yours for the taking. Everything is as I said.
Yuri reaches into his coat and Nikolai stiffens nervously. The gangster produces a thick envelope and hands it to Harry, who counts the money inside.
It's nice doing business with you, Mr. Palmer.
And their surprise.
Yuri grins.
It's all arranged. You've got 5 minutes to get your friends out of there. I'm glad you're no longer friends of Alex.
Yuri walks out of the room. Outside, one of Alex's men gets out of his car and surveys the parking lot. Gradsky and Natasha watch the militiamen load the crates of heroin into the back of their truck, and Harry and Nikolai walk out into the street. Nearby, one man watches them from a car as they cross the street to the parking lot. As Craig prepares to get into a waiting car, a man watches him from several cars away.
I just hope the police get here within the next 5 minutes.
Harry and Nikolai walk cautiously into the parking lot.
Yeah. That truck's about ready to...
Harry spots a skinny, bearded gangster in the parking lot.
Uh-oh.
Nikolai spots a man with a mustache.
Nick?
I know. I saw him.
The skinny gangster follows them through the parking lot.
Keep walking.
They pass one of the cars observing the transaction. Alex's man gives an order, and a militiaman gets into his car as Harry and Nikolai approach Craig.
Surprised? Guess your way out of this.
Harry spots Yuri waving from a car he's sharing with a North Korean army officer. Yuri cocks a finger at Harry as if he's shooting a gun. The rest of Yuri's men leap from their cars.
Oh, shit!
The gangsters open fire. Gradsky and Natasha crouch behind a car with Harry and Nikolai. A gangster shoots out the windows of the truck, and Alex's militiamen leap out of the back to return fire. A gangster shoots a militiaman, and Yuri grins.
I thought you were dead.
We could all be dead! Yuri's working for Kim Soo! This is Kim's revenge!
Harry shoots a gunman, but another sprays the cab of the truck. Another one shoots up the car belonging to Alex's man. As a gunman comes around a corner, Natasha shoots him down. Alex's man dives out of his car to avoid a hail of bullets. A bullet slams a militiaman into a car. Another militiaman goes down. A gunman sprays the car belonging to Alex's man. From the back seat, Craig points 2 rounds into the man. Bouncing off the hood, the gunman keeps firing, only to be cut down. One of the gangsters jumps into the cab of the truck.
We've got to stop the truck.
I'll toss you for a heads or tails.
Hey,
you lose. I'll go. Keep me covered.
As Nikolai tracks the moving truck, a gunman opens fire from the roof.
Follow me.
Harry and Gradsky trade shots with the gangsters. As Nikolai ducks behind a parked car, the truck driver fires at him, and Nikolai fires back. Hit, the driver crashes into a car. Nikolai takes out the gunman on the roof.
Great, Nick. Where the hell are the police?
The truck's fuel tank is leaking gas.
Do you see what I see?
Yeah.
Gradsky, light a cigar.
I joked. I don't want to smoke.
Light a cigar.
One of Alex's men goes down with a bullet in the shoulder, but keeps firing. As Gradsky lights a cigar, a truckload of policemen arrive. Yuri's gunmen drop their weapons and raise their hands.
We're innocent bystanders. Get rid of your guns.
Get rid of your guns.
And get up slowly. Nobody knows us, eh?
Harry and his friends stand up by the car they've been crouching behind. Craig sits up and stares through the shattered windows of the car he's been hiding in. Then eases the door open with his boot. As the police round up Yuri's gunman, Harry and his friends look on like innocent bystanders. Shaking pieces of broken glass out of his clothing, Craig steps gingerly over a body.
How did he get out of there?
Craig spots Yuri leaning out of his car with a gun.
Hurry!
What?
Get down! Get down!
Craig leaps in front of Harry and takes the bullet. Yuri speeds away as Harry lowers Craig to the ground. Cradling him in his arms, Harry unbuttons Craig's shirt and uncovers a Kevlar vest.
What the hell is this? Who are you working for?
DEA.
DEA?
DEA?
You got it. I've been trying to bust these guys for 2 years.
Jesus Christ.
Get up. As Harry and Nikolai pull Craig to his feet, the police load Yuri's gunman into their truck.
You okay?
Yeah.
Look innocent.
I'll give it a shot.
Harry and his friends walk across the parking lot.
Look.
A black sedan pulls up.
Now we're in real trouble. That's Alex's car.
The police captain Harry encountered earlier gets out of the car.
If you think we're in trouble now, wait till this guy sees me.
Mr. Palmer, do not move. You are under arrest.
If they find Harry in, we are all under arrest.
Give me a cigar.
Harry hides Gradsky's lit cigar behind his back. As the captain approaches him, he flips the cigar into the pool of gas that's leaked from the truck. Harry and his friends walk toward the captain.
Run.
The cigar ignites the gas. The captain scurries away to take shelter beside a car with Harry. The truck explodes, engulfing its cargo of heroin in a fireball.
Нихуя себе.
Mr. Palmer, what are you really doing here in Russia?
I told you, I'm a tourist. I came to see my friends. This is Colonel Gradsky of the KGB.
It's all under control, Captain.
The captain glances around doubtfully.
You are dismissed.
Slushies. Don't break the law.
As the captain walks away,
yes, sir.
Someone rolls down a window in the nearest car.
Nikolai tried to convince me you were dead, but somehow I suspected you'd turn up today.
I see you've managed to turn them all against me. No matter. Nothing will deter my course.
What are you going to do? Kill me?
No, not today, Harry. Some other time, maybe. I'm an honorable man. I always pay my debts. Oh, by the way, thank you for saving me the inconvenience of explaining my connection with the heroin. Here's your money. Spend it quickly before we meet again.
He hands Harry his $250,000.
I hope not.
Let's go.
Harry and his friends walk away. Alex's car drives off through the devastated parking lot where the cargo of heroin continues to burn. Later...
Nick, take me back to the hotel.
But you'll miss your flight.
No, I'm thinking of staying here in Russia.
What for?
I don't know. Maybe start a business.
You're joking.
No, there's a lot of insecurity in this country.
And you're going to provide the security?
Why not?
Well, what are you going to call this business?
I don't know, tight-fit T-shirt company. That'll be my security. Maybe Craig and General Gradsky will join me. What about you?
Well, Natasha was thinking about going to the States.
Yeah, she told me. But she didn't mention you.
She didn't?
No.
Well, I guess I won't be going then. Anyway, I've been there, I've done that.
You want to try for a T-shirt?
We got anything in medium?
A tight-fit, one-size-fits-all.
All right, but on one condition. You tell me the truth about the honeypot trap.
So you want to know the truth about the honeypot trap, huh? All right, but tell me, Nick, have you got a mole on the left cheek of your ass?
No.
Neither have I. You know, we could be related.
This described version of Bullet to Beijing was created by Audiovision. The narrative description was written by Bill Williams, narrated by George Thompson, and produced by Valerie Hunter and Jim DeMello. For more information on described movies and audio cinema presentations, visit www.audiovisioncanada.com. Cast in order of appearance: Professor Kulbitsky, Anatoly Kulbitsky, Carruthers, Sean Seymour, Harry Palmer, Michael Caine, Policewoman, Karina Richards, Elderly Woman, Tamara Timofeeva, Nick, Jason Connery, Doctor, Anatoly Svederski, Henrietta, Helena Mitchell, Juliet, Juliet Benson, Colonel Wilson, Patrick Allen, Jean, Sue Lloyd, Girl in Savoy Bar, Annika Bullis, Attendant, Chris Tulloch, Natasha, Mia Sara, Alex, Michael Gambon, Hotel Check-in Woman, Tatiana Berkova, Andrei, Ingolf Gorges, Yuri Stepanovich, Anatoly Davidov, Louis John Dunhill, Louis' grandson, Alexander Bachkov, Police Inspector, Gregory Hilati, Craig, Michael Sarazin, Colonel Gratsky, Lev Priganov, Sasha, Alexander Zavilov, Tolya, Anatoly Sovnikov, Stewardess, Sevlana Nimorovskaya, Pilot, Sergei Roskin, Ilona, Anastasia Balova, Singer and Bar, Mikhail Alikin, Ivan, Alexander Ilyin, Peter Sergeyevich, Ivan Shvedov, Korean Driver, Igor Gvan, Kim Su, Bert Kwok, Stunts, Michael Scherer, Jamie Jones, Robin McNichol. Executives for Showtime Networks Incorporated, Matthew Duda, Dan Cohen. Soundtrack album available on Film Tracks Records Limited. Executive music producer, Tim Hollier. Music coordinator, Gail Tevola. Orchestral string arrangements, Leslie Williams. Co-produced by Canadian co-producers, Quebec 3099-3018. British co-producers, Harry Palmer Productions Limited. Russian co-producers, Len Film. Filmed on location in St. Petersburg, Russia, and in London, England. Copyright 1995. Quebec 3099-3018. Harry Palmer Productions Limited. Len Film.